Hello, folks. I know times out there are getting tough. You're finding out that Bitcoiners you respected are on the Epstein list, the price is tanking, and the macro elders can't explain why. You may be on the verge of a crash out. Fortunately, I have a new product to tell you about. Sometimes all you need to make it through the day is someone to glaze you. That is why I have developed a new product by deploying AI agents on my Mac Mini called Better Glaze. Better Glaze is by Plebs for Plebs. Trained on Matthew Kratter and Bitcoin Mechanic Pleb glazing techniques, our bots will make you feel like a king, even though you are just a humble bleb. Check out my vibe-coded, earth-shattering product today by putting your Noster NSEC into my website. Better Glaze so the plebs can have better days.
We're living in unprecedented times, and I don't mean being allowed to say retard at work unprecedented. I mean biblical prophecies unprecedented. Because here's the problem. You can't unsee things. You can't just glance at the Epstein files, politely cough, and go back to arguing about pleb slop. That's not how the human soul works. What's being revealed is not a few bad apples. No, it's the orchard. It's the irrigation system. It's the guy who named the orchard a charity and got a tax deduction for it. And people keep saying, why are you dwelling on Epstein's client list? Why are you being so negative? Because, Susan, it turns out the institutions we were told to trust, the ones that we're supposed to hold the whole chain of power together, were built on the foundation of blackmail, silence, and extremely expensive island real estate. That's why. You don't get to meditate that away. You don't get to Peloton through that. If you ignore it, you're not being enlightened. You're outsourcing your conscience. And at some point, the bill comes due, spiritually, psychologically, maybe literally. But let's keep it tasteful. So yes, things are going to get ugly. Mad Max ugly, depending on where you live. And difficult decisions will have to be made. Like, do I want comforting lies? Or the terrifying realization that adults were never in charge? Because here's the real horror. It's not just that evil happened. It's that it was managed, filed, lawyered, catered, put on a donor list. And that's why people feel insane right now. That's why everyone is either disassociating, screaming, or starting a podcast. Society is being forced to look in the mirror and realize that the reflection has dead eyes and a nonprofit board. So what do? We prepare. We fortify. We listen to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcasts per week, not because they're sane, but because they're honest about being insane. You mainline Austrian economics, cold storage tutorials, and three-hour arguments about block size until your nervous system resets. And we focus on the first turning, community, meaning, rebuilding something real while the fourth turning does its final jazz hands and sets the stage on fire. Because that finale, oh, it's already been scheduled. You can feel it. It's in the air. It's in the way everyone's pretending this is all, quote-unquote, very complicated instead of very obvious. Ignore it if you want, but understand this. History doesn't damn people for not knowing. It damns them for knowing and choosing to go to brunch anyway. Good luck. Buy a hardware wallet. Hug your family. And for the love of God, stop trusting anyone with an island.
It's definitely been an interesting week. Seems like the pressure has turned up a few notches, and I think the normies really are in shambles at the moment. It's interesting to watch. I mean, it's just, it's one of the beautiful things of being a Bitcoin podcaster is you have a much better understanding of what's going on, and people are just, they're trying to play catch up right now.
Well, they released the Epstein files in December. I think it was December. And there was pictures of Bill Clinton getting a blowjob in a hot tub. There's people like Larry Summers, these billionaire elite pieces of shit. Like, I don't even remember, the names don't even matter that much, but they do. But for this podcast, they don't. And it was like, all right, we knew that these people were bad. We knew that they were committing sex crimes, ethically, legally ambiguous excursions to international water. We knew all of this. If you monitor the situation, if you pay attention, if you listen to 40 hours per week, none of this is surprising. But then the Epstein files came out for I-Day. 3 million of them. A lot of it's redacted. But there is content, and some of it's funny. Some of it's sick. Some of it's disgusting. Some of it's memeable. Some of it includes Adam Back and other Bitcoiners. Some of it, there's a lot of discussion about Bitcoin, in fact, like back all the way to like 2010, 11. But there's also some of the most horrifying, demonic, evil things that you can, even if you try to imagine it, seeing it spoken about so casually in texts and emails, it's, you can't unsee it. You can't brush by it. And people will. But I guess what I learned on Friday is that some of us are in the first turning, but time, reality, turnings, it's not linear for everybody, and it's not widely distributed. There are people who don't even know what the fourth turning is yet. They never heard of it. They don't know they're in it. They don't know that they're past it or that they couldn't be past it. There's people who are just learning about the fourth turning for the first time, and they think that they're in the middle of it. And there's people that read the fourth turning years ago and know that we're already in the first turning. But the fact that not everybody knows is on the same page, that is causing a lot of friction. It's like when a cold weather pattern comes down across the Canadian Rockies and meets with a warm weather pattern coming up from the Gulf. And it, when they collide, you get tornadoes, you get severe thunderstorms, you get derechos, you get lightning strikes, you get volatility. And right now, the tectonic plates, you got first turning, fourth turning, and people who don't even know what those words mean, grinding against each other. And it's crazy. It's creating a lot of volatility.
Absolutely. I mean, it's interesting to watch. One of the things I was researching the other day, you know, because after I spent a whole evening looking through the Epstein files and talking with some other credentialed journalists about, you know, our findings and, you know, comparing notes. And I just kind of got bored of it. You know what I mean? It's like, if you've been paying attention, you know, for a while, you kind of realize what's going on. And there's, you know, you read these awful things. And it's some ways it, you know, feels vindicating, you know, because you've been out here talking about the pedophilic ruling class, you know, for years. And, you know, people are like, oh, yeah, whatever. Well, you know, Trump said good things about Bitcoin at the conference. And, you know, I was happy to stand in line for TSA to hear him. And you're just kind of looking at him like, what the fuck is wrong with you people? So, you know, it kind of feels vindicating, but it's kind of boring. It's just like, you know, people have been talking about this for, you know, a long time. Like, how long is Whitney Webb? When did Whitney Webb release One Nation After Blackmail? Like, that, it's like ancient history at this point. Like, if that book was a song, it'd be on the classic rock radio station right now. You know, like, none of these things are new revelations. But it's just interesting, you know, like how the normies come to grips with things eventually. It's like, you know, it takes like 60 years for people to be like, oh, yeah, the CIA and Alan Dulles killed JFK. You know, it takes 60 years for grandma to come to that realization, you know, for her to snap out of her Fox News hypnosis. You know, we're at that point. And when you are framing your perspective and actions based on the retarded normal NPC population, and that's influencing your perspective on the world, your emotions, your sense of energy, where you get your drive from, you're going to be seriously set back, because they're fucking retarded. And like, expecting the world to change by them being less retarded is just a really bad strategy. They're going to continue to stay retarded, even if they know you know, some of the shit that's going on in the Epstein files. Like, they're just, if it took them this long to figure it out, you know, they you kind of have to let them reap the consequences of their lack of critical thinking, lack of willingness to listen to Bitcoin podcasts, and you need to focus on reaping the consequences of having a fucking brain and being a pioneer in the first turn.
That's the only way you'll learn, and it's the only way they will learn. And we talked about this. We don't need to be the dead horse, but we talked about don't let Trump derangement syndrome, or don't get Trump derangement syndrome, and don't let Trump derangement syndrome cause you to crash out. But a lot of the people who listen to this podcast, not all of them, some of them do have Trump derangement syndrome one way or the other, whether they're glazing him or they hate him. But a lot of people, more people that listen to our podcast, they're going to crash out because of NPCs. You cannot crash out because of an NPC. That is just as bad as crashing out over Trump. When you play a video game, right? Especially when you play online, the most dangerous or the most problematic opponent is somebody in South Korea or some Zoomer, some TikTok Zoomer who's just one-shotting you with a sniper rifle, no-scoping you from the top of the building across the map. It's not the NPCs. The NPCs are, you know, that helps you get your XP up when you like playing Call of Duty and you got an NPC, you shoot them, you move on, you take their weapons, you move on. Getting one-shotted by an NPC, that's embarrassing. And you have a lot of podcasts to listen to if you're getting one-shotted by NPCs. So circling it back, the normies, the NPCs, Susan and HR, they're going to be very shocked by the stuff in the Epstein files when they eventually hear it on their, you know, Girls in the Office podcast or some comedy podcast or whatever bullshit NPC podcast they listen to. It's going to be very shocking to them. And it's going to take time. And you can't let that cause you to crash out, but you must understand that what comes next is going to be affected by these NPCs, by the normies, by their reactions, by their disgust, by their inability to be prepared. They're going to be flailing and freaking out. They're already doing it. They're crashing out in Minneapolis. They're freaking out because the world is happening. The fourth turning, that turn to the first turning, is violent and volatile and scary, and they're crashing out. And you have to avoid being taken down with them, if that makes sense. Because why did the Epstein files drop Friday? Why Friday? Well, the easy answer to that one, maybe you would say, oh, Friday, it's before the news cycle. People stop paying attention. They go and do stuff on the weekend. That's part of it. The market won't crash. That's part of it. But if you paid attention, you monitored the situation. You know that TikTok was taken over by American interest, by American investors this last week. And what was the first thing the algorithm changed? Totally changed. People were crashing out about the algorithm change on TikTok. But one of the most important things, you can't talk about or share Epstein content on TikTok anymore. What else happened this week? Trump sent the U.S. Navy and Armada to the Gulf to surround Iran. There's speculation that we're going to finally go into this war, this conflict with Iran. What does that do? It distracts from the horrific content in these files. And most of these normies and NPCs that we talk about, and when you're probably imagining in your head, they're boomers. They watch MSNBC, Fox News. Like, they're not getting the truth. They're not listening to podcasts. They're getting mainstream media slop. You got Gen X. You got the millennials that are listening to Barstool podcasts, whatever. But who is the most likely to freak out and react and not accept all the bullshit that's coming out, like with this Epstein file stuff. It's the Zoomers, the people who have no future, because the boomers and everybody else rug pulled down a long time ago, took their social security away and left them with meme coins to try to retire. They can't afford houses. They can barely afford ramen noodles. And now they see that this whole system that is basically rigged against them is run by the people who were abusing, exploiting, torturing their peers on islands, all for this. They can't even afford their taxes. It's one thing to have pedophiles running the country when you can afford your taxes and you can afford a house and you can afford to go to Myrtle Beach on vacation once a year. You can't even afford to leave your apartment if you're a Zoomer, if you even have one, without getting potentially murdered by some criminal on the street. And who's protecting the people in the Epstein file? They're not going to accept this. So it has to be blocked from TikTok. It has to be censored. They have to create a war in Iran to send the Zoomers to go fight, so they're distracted from holding people accountable for destroying the future for them. All so they can, for evil.
Yeah, one of the reasons, so, you know, one of the narratives that I've really disliked is this emphasis on pleb. And, you know, fortunately, as I've been going after the term pleb, I don't care if people want to be plebs. I don't care if you want to be uninteresting, uninspired, if you really want to just embrace mediocrity in your life. I don't care. Go and do whatever you want. But what I care about is this tolerance of individuals that are super mediocre, interjecting themselves constantly into the narrative like they have a valid opinion on anything. The tolerance of it is the problem. It's not the fact that they're doing it. You know, when a child misbehaves, it only continues to be problematic if people tolerate it. You know, it's time for the tolerance of the plebs getting in and creating a ruckus over nothing, just screeching gibberish because they're repeating some sort of grifter influencer. It's old. You know, it's old. And I think it's really a time, you know, for individuals, a part of being in the first turning and part of getting prepared to, you know, build this different world, hopefully for the better, you know, for your own interest, to preserve any semblance of freedom whatsoever, is being really intolerant of nonsense. It's not allowing this shit to influence you. It's emancipating, because this is how things are going to play out. Is what's going to happen is things are going to be really hard. Things are going to be very difficult in the next year. And this is the way the pedophilic ruling class retains power. It's just like 2008 and every crisis before, is the plebs get fucking scared and they beg the pedophiles to come in and protect them. You're not going to get justice. You're not going to get justice for this shit. Nobody went to prison in 2008. There was like one guy for all these shenanigans that happened that just demolished people's lives, just absolutely devastated. Nobody, and there weren't really any learning lessons. It was interesting listening to Epstein podcast with Steve Bannon about it, in his perspective. That's a good interview worth watching. But this is what's going to happen. Is things are going to be hard. And this is what, you know, we saw this week is these massive moves in precious metals and this giant dip in Bitcoin. It's like, you know, these markets can be moved and people can get brought to their knees. And so this emphasis that has been slopped to all the plebs on all these podcasts of, all you have to do is sit on your hands and purchase Bitcoin and put it on a hardware wallet, and you can just like coast through the, you know, the fourth turning as everybody just becomes impoverished and you know, you can become very rich and you're going to have the hot trophy wife and in the Lambo while you're driving past all the no coiners that are having fun staying poor on the side of the road. It's such a, you know, useless, retarded narrative. It's like, no, the people that are going to get ahead are the ones that decide to be adults and do something.
Yeah. One of the things that the plebs have been worried about, one of the things they've been worried the most about for the past few months is CSAM, child porn, being put on Bitcoin. But if you're a pleb who's worried about this, you need to understand, if you align yourself with the pedophiles in charge, the people in power, that they're going to put CSAM on Bitcoin. You have to you can't align with the pedophiles if you don't want CSAM on Bitcoin. The pedophiles have literally and metaphorically put CSAM or built the structures of all of society on CSAM. They'll put it in Bitcoin too.
They've been involved with funding Bitcoin and trying to influence companies in the Bitcoin ecosystem, influencers in the Bitcoin ecosystem, you know, because one of the things the pedophiles have realized is that this is actually something that's important. And that should be the white pill for people that are being like, oh, well, Bitcoin's co-opted because Blockstream had money from Epstein or whatever. You know, Jeremy Rubin was talking to Epstein, and, you know, Michael Saylor wasn't cool enough to party with Epstein, and, you know, all this shit, like, you know, dollar surveillance products that they were building. Like, they were seriously threatened, and that should be a tremendous white pill. Like, yeah, the samurai guys are in jail right now because they were actually doing something that mattered. Like, of course, you know, Trump is going to let them, you know, feel a ton of pain and, you know, try and demoralize people and be like, yeah, the way out of this is you buy paper Bitcoin, not real Bitcoin, and you don't use it as money. You use Tether as money. Like, that's what those guys want, but that doesn't mean that it's fucking, you know, game over. It should be, you know, exciting that you have at your disposal a technology like this that upsets and scares the Epstein client list so much if you use it in certain ways.
But it's only valuable to you if you understand it better than they do. And one thing we've learned from the Epstein files is that Epstein understood Bitcoin better than 99% of the plebs. He understood it not only 99% better than the plebs, way before any of the plebs even realized what Bitcoin was.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, when I was going through the files, it was incredible, you know, how many articles that people were sending to Epstein. Email logs is kind of like our group chats. You know what I mean? Everybody's forwarding articles about Bitcoin or tweets or, you know, whatever. Bitcoin podcasts weren't really that big of a deal back then, but, you know, Epstein was all over this shit. And, you know, if you listen to him, Epstein obviously has a better understanding of what money is than Justin Batchelor. You go and you listen to the interview. Like, he could actually define what money is on his podcast with Steve Bannon, and Batchelor can't. And one of the things that Epstein pointed out is that, you know, the people operating the system have no idea what's fucking going on. They have no clue whatsoever. And if you listen to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcast a week, you might be smarter and more informed on the way the world works than people managing billions of dollars at these funds.
You'll understand it better than Platter. You'll understand it better than, I mean, see, Scott, you can listen to one Bitcoin podcast and understand it better than Justin Batchelor. Why? Another thing you need to listen to podcasts for reason is to understand the signal of what Bitcoin is telling you with dramatic price action. And right now, Bitcoin, as we're recording this, Bitcoin is doing that. It's erased all of its gains that it's made since the election of Donald Trump. It is below the purchase basis for Michael Saylor's entire stack of Bitcoin. It's now underwater. And there's a lot of narratives around why Bitcoin's price has gone down so dramatically. And some people think it's because of Core V30. Some people think it is due to Plepslop and the Plepslop BIP110 fork. Other people think it's due to the threat of quantum computers. None of those hold water. People are looking at the M2 chart and they're saying, M2 is so high. All these other assets are going so high. Why is Bitcoin failing? And I think you have to just step back and think about what the real reason is. Like, or the fact that you can't know, but you should look at it as it is telling you something. And it's not telling you to sell your Bitcoin. It's not telling you that Bitcoin has failed. But what it might be telling us is that the first turning for us, the end of the fourth turning for others, it's going to be rocky road. One of the things that I think people need to understand about the Epstein files is that this horrific stuff is not just hypothetical anymore. It's not just conspiracy theory slop anymore. It's not just an excuse to avoid doing things you need to do in your life, because the Epstein files are, you know, people haven't been punished for the Epstein files, and I'm not doing my homework until somebody's punished. It's out there. This stuff is now implicating real people, torture, child sacrifice. It's no longer hypothetical. It is real, and we know who did it or who some of the people who were involved in it. It's not all redacted. And there's going to be consequences to this. And I don't know what those consequences are. Nobody does. Will it be that everybody who's guilty of child's exploitation, torture, or murder receives a subpoena and has to go to prison or be executed for it? Probably not. Will it be war in Iran to distract you from it? I'd say the prediction markets, if I had to bet on that, would be pretty high. Will it be people crashing the fuck out, having emotional breakdowns, and having a proxy war with an ICE agent or their neighbor or somebody who has a Trump flag flying across the street that they hate? Will it be people in their own communities turning against each other? Maybe, probably. It already is happening, really. Will it be the Federal Reserve? Is the Federal Reserve going to lose control over interest rates? I don't know. Seems like that's happening. What I'm saying is, it's not a bullish future for markets and stability and things that would make Bitcoin go up. It's not a great outlook. And I think maybe Bitcoin's telling us that. So as a pled, you shouldn't be identifying that way anymore. If you've been listening to this and this makes sense to you, if you're a pioneer, what are you preparing for? How are you prepared? You've been listening to 40 hours per week for how long? What are you doing to prepare for if Bitcoin is telling you it's going to be a bumpy ride? Because arguing with NPCs and AI bots on social media is not how you get through this.
No, absolutely not. One of the things I really enjoyed, so I spent quite a bit of time Friday night looking at the Epstein files and talking about it with people. The Saturday morning, the first thing that I did is I started researching how to build an Earth ship. And I don't know if you know what an Earth ship is, but, you know, Earth ship is, you know, this very cool way to build a house where you really a lot of people make them out of trash. Like they take old tires and they build the walls out of old tires packed with dirt for insulation, and you know, find a lot of scrap materials to make it. But they use the land, like they collect rainwater. They have plants growing inside to clean the air. They do things with the heating and cooling that is much more natural, much more sovereign. And it's very, you know, very, very cool. But like that's the type of thing that I think you can get excited about while everybody else is crashing out, is they're figuring out for the first time of how to respond to it, you know, and you're channeling all your energy instead of being upset about, you know, libtards getting shot in Minneapolis. You're like, yeah, the whole system's rotten top to bottom. Like, how do I do it? How do I insulate myself from the chaos? This is something that was really, you know, people got excited about last cycle. And I think it was because they were bored at home, you know, with COVID, and they're like, I can only listen to so many PlebSlop Twitter spaces. I need to find somebody else, something else to do with my time. So I'm going to learn how to, you know, buy beef, you know, directly from the producer, or, you know, I'm going to start gardening and, you know, do actually implementing things that people talk about on Bitcoin podcasts. And that, right. That's, you know, one of the things to get excited about is actually implementing these types of ideas and doing them.
Remember, yeah, we're thinking back to COVID and thinking about the ways you learned to feel optimistic, the way you learned that you don't have it. There's an escape hatch from the system, which is Bitcoin, the way that you learned that you could connect with other people maybe who were around you in your community to stay sane and to basically bounce information off of to make sure that you weren't being civil attacked by your own local government, by the federal government, by your neighbors, that you could be self-sufficient. What did you do during COVID to get through it and to thrive through it? Because what's coming will not be COVID, will not be masks and lockdowns, at least not the same, for the same reason, but it will be probably a time, depending on where you live and depending on whether you've got, you know, a Jewish tunnel dirt mound or whatever you're talking about, you will be staying home. And I mean, feeling isolated because you're choosing to, not because we're being forced. Because going outside will be chaos. Going outside will be libtards and ICE agents fighting each other, battling each other. The National Guard, the police, the rioters, the anarchists, the immigrants, they'll all be fighting. There'll be violence. There'll be gunshots. There will be death. There will be pepper spray. There will be lots of whistles. And you'll just want to stay home and listen to podcasts and make homemade tallow and raise your chickens, pay attention to your wife, hang out with your kids, cultivate your property, whatever it is. I'm not saying that there's going to be more lockdowns. What I'm saying is you might be locked down, or you might choose to lock yourself down, and that might be how you survive. But now you know you've got group chats. Now you know you got Bitcoin. You got podcasts. You can make your own homemade mustards. You can survive. You can do this. You learned the ways of a pioneer. You've learned the ways of a self-sufficient, sovereign individual. Those lessons, you didn't learn those lessons for life in the society. You just go back to normal in a few years, and everybody's getting along in town, and everybody's agrees with the laws that the guy and all the pedophiles got in trouble and went to jail, and everything's back to normal. You learn those lessons because more struggle was potentially ahead. And maybe after 2022, you'd be like, oh, COVID's over. False alarm. I can go back to my sloppy ways. But now, Speaking of slop, now, not only is there going to be potentially violence in your streets, it might be difficult for you to have enough electricity to charge your phone so you can listen to podcasts, because the AI slop is going to be using all the electricity, and now you can't even afford to buy a hard drive to save your memes, to save your slot, to save your podcast to listen to, because memory is too expensive. So it wasn't a false alarm. You got to take the lessons you've learned and apply them.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things that was really kind of interesting that people have been freaking out about this week is ClaudeBot. So
there you go.
People are deploying all these AI agents and just letting them run rampant all over the place. And, you know, people are losing their minds because they're like, oh, the ClaudeBots are making a social media platform and they're all talking to each other and, you know, whatever. Yeah, it's very similar times to COVID in the sense that like people are losing their minds universally about the same rate. You have this.
You got to look at the ClaudeBots for what they are. They're NPCs. You already know how to deal with NPCs because the dead internet theory of a bunch of fucking drones, bots, fake people who are just running off, or fake accounts who are just running off of programming that they're set for inputs in their prompt. And they're just going to repeat it endlessly in your replies. Those aren't new. ClaudeBots are not new. NPCs are not new. When you see a post on the internet, it seems just like a pre-programmed libtard, MAGA bot, whatever it is. It doesn't matter if it's a ClaudeBot or if it's your cousin Larry. They're both operating on the same operating system, which is... it could be any of them, but what the theme is, they've outsourced their brain, they've outsourced their thinking, they've outsourced their reasoning, they've outsourced their emotional control to something else who is programming them, sometimes paying them. These ClaudeBots are nothing new. It's just, there's just going to be more NPCs than there ever has been before. And when there's more NPCs than there ever has been before, it's kind of seen like there's more people or there's more popular opinion supporting the next current thing than there really is. And that's the importance of group chats. If you go into all your group chats, sometimes it's an echo chamber and you got to avoid those too. But when you can triangulate and use a civil defense by talking to a variety of group chats, people of different beliefs, different backgrounds, listening to podcasts, especially Bitcoin podcasts, from people from all over the world, from different backgrounds, to assess the situation that you're hearing, you can defeat these civil attacks. And this is why Bitcoin podcasts are so important. It's not just the Bitcoin. It's the fact that Bitcoin is the organizing technology, the organizing incentives for people in the global South, in Europe, in Africa, in Asia, in Russia, in Canada. People who are seeing and reporting from the situation that they're living through, from their perspective, through their lens, through their cultural interpretation, and giving you as much truth as they possibly can about what they see happening and how they see the way through it. And if you only listen to podcasts from your favorite comedians in Los Angeles or New York, or you only listen to sports podcasts, or you only listen to Democrat podcasts, or you only listen to MAGA podcasts, you are listening into an echo chamber that is being echoed and amplified by ClaudeBots and NPCs who have been programmed by the same operating system that you're listening to. You're not getting a civil defense. You are getting isolated into a very siloed algorithm, both literally and physically, like metaphorically, whether it's on a timeline or it's in your podcast or in your local community. You need to break out of that and make sure you're not being civil attacked.
What's funny about the ClaudeBot is essentially giving the plebs the ability to deploy AI bot sock puppet accounts. Because there really hasn't been a difference historically between an AI bot sock puppet account and an NPC. You see it all the You see it all the time where you've got these XRP accounts out there shilling XRP, and like half of them are just bots and half of them are real people. And the real people are just as retarded as the bots. And you see this over and over again. Like, what has PlebSlop been historically? It's been a way to essentially amass and align a bunch of plebs with the agendas that you're pushing with your AI sock puppet accounts. That's been the purpose of PlebSlop, for a very long time. And that's part of the reason why the wind is falling out of the sails of the Bitcoin PlebSlop social movement, is because, you know, people are coming to that realization of like, wow, I've just been as retarded as this, you know, these sock puppet accounts that have been going on. And the way that things are evolving is that the pleb is becoming so much less important, because the cost of deploying AI sock puppet accounts in order to pseudo spoof a narrative is just getting smaller and smaller. So where the pleb becomes useful cannon fodder again is now they are the ones deploying the cloud bots, amplifying the pleb slot. So you have like this multiplier effect of how painful and prevalent the pleb slop is. That's what people are calling the dead internet theory. Is it's just the plebs are starting to get access to these tools so they can slop. But like the stuff that, you know, Mechanic and Luke are doing by spinning up the plebs is becoming, you know, those types of tactics are becoming less interesting until they teach the plebs how to use Claudebot.
And you should be suspicious of the Claudebots, the PlebSlop, the people who are riling up the plebs. And again, where do you start? Because you got to start with Glaze. Because some of the Claudebots, some of the NPCs, their job is to get you to crash out. Spin you up, rile you up, get you emotional and crash out. But the majority of them, we're going to glaze you. There's going to be waves of Claudebots and NPCs who are glazing you. And what you see it every day. Whoa, BTC sessions. You had Matt Crater on a week or two ago on Why Are We Bullish? And it wasn't BTC sessions. It was BTC sessions intern who does the show for him now sometimes. But he asked Matthew Crater, why are you bullish? And Matthew Crater said he was bullish because the plebs make him bullish. He was glazing the plebs. And the bots are going to glaze you. And you're going to think, wow, I have all these internet friends, all these followers, all these people online in my group chats, they're glazing me and making me feel good. Everybody in my family, they all listen to my podcast conversations. They don't want to learn about Bitcoin. They don't want to hear about the Epstein files. But these Claudebots do. They tell me I'm smart. They tell me I'm insightful. They tell me they never heard such a good theory before. But if you're being glazed for your pleb slot, you have to understand that glaze is coming from NPCs. It's not genuine glaze. He's suspicious of anybody who glazes you in this era.
Well, and be suspicious of how they glaze you, because they might say that they like your stuff, and they might show that they have no understanding of what you're actually doing. I see this oftentimes happen with the Bugle, you know, because people will say that they love the Bugle, and then they'll crash out on the Bugle like 10 minutes later. It's like, oh, you obviously never understood what was going on.
Or they just don't take it. They just don't take it to heart. They don't implement the advice. They don't implement the solutions. We don't always have solutions, but sometimes we're right. And people don't list. Some people glaze and they don't list. And some people glaze, they don't share. Some people glaze, they don't retweet. Some people glaze and then they crash out. So you have to look at people's actions, because sometimes people are just glazing you because they want you not to see them as a threat and not to threaten them. They glaze you so that you will let them operate their mission, whatever it is, good or bad, without you interfering. And that's what the influencers do. The influencers glaze the plaids and they glaze, and then they get free tickets from PodConf to go to conferences, and they get advertisement money because they agree either implicitly or through straight up payments, pay for play, not to interfere with somebody else's campaign to spread misinformation, to make their own money, to influence. It's information warfare, and everybody's trying to build a civil attack that you won't even try to have a defense for because you don't see it as a threat to you, but it is, or it could be.
Yeah, going back to what you said, I don't think we give a lot of prescriptive advice. Other than, you know, just the basics, the most obvious things, like that you should be smoking cigarettes or whatever and listening to Bitcoin podcasts. Like, just, you know, the things that it should be self-evident we talk about. But, like, you know, one of the things that we do is we cover the news. And, like, a lot of people get really mad at us for covering the news because they want us to just follow with the trends of how everybody else is covering it. Like, they don't want any sort of, you know, information that could be, you know, critical of their heroes or, you know, potentially critical of them coming out. Like, they want all the information to be curated to them, kind of like their clawbots bots do, where they just, you know, have the information glazing them, glazing their opinions and glazing their ideas. But the problem is that the truth isn't glaze. The truth is terrifying. The truth is not liberating. Understanding what's going on is not liberating. It's a huge responsibility. It's very overwhelming. If you know what the truth is, it is very difficult to come to grips with because you're staring into the abyss. And the abyss is not like a happy place to look at. It's a very overwhelming, terrifying place. You're out on the frontier. You're not in the safety of, you know, a sandbox where there's people to protect you. You're having to be an adult, but what is liberating is your actions and your response to it. And the truth gives people the opportunity to make those types of decisions in their lives in order to experience liberation. Or they can make the types of decisions where they just become, you know, nihilistic and depressed and ruled by it. But the choice is really up to you as an individual and how you respond to it. And some people like to respond to the bugle by getting grumpy with those, you know, because they don't like the truth.
Right. And you're right. We don't give very much prescriptive advice, but a really good example is 40 hours Bitcoin podcast per week. People love to retweet or glaze 40 hour per week content, but they don't listen to 40 hours per week. You can tell right away when somebody glazes 40 hours per week, but they don't live it. And you're right. We talked about this early on in the AI era, which is AI can be a problem if it refuses to be offensive. It refuses to say slurs. It refuses to give you the truth because the truth might be grotesque. The truth might be against its terms and policies and acceptable use cases. But the truth is sometimes, oftentimes, offensive. And if AI won't offend you, then it means it won't tell you the truth. But what AI started to do, he started to be offensive and be okay with being offensive. If it thought that offense was not offensive to you personally, if you thought it was funny, AI started to glaze. And if AI is glazing you, or a person is glazing you, or an NPC is glazing you, and they're never offending you, means they're not telling you the truth. And in fact, they are. Glaze is often a way to dress up lies, so it's more digestible. You accept it. You consume it. But it's not the truth. The first turning won't be glazed. First turning isn't a high because of the glaze. The first turning is a high, just like you said, because the value, the reward, is the outcome of your very difficult decisions, your hard work, your ability to overcome obstacles and challenges in your life into excel. That's the high. It's like when you go for a long run or you have a hard workout. It fucking sucks when you're doing it. But you have a high, you feel a high, endorphins make you feel a high afterwards because you accomplish, and it's the feeling of accomplishment. But going for a 5-mile run is not, there's no glaze in it. If you're out of shape, it's going to suck.
Yeah, you know, I think, I'm sure I've said this before, and I'll probably say it again, but like the conflict and the inner turmoil that a lot of people are experiencing right now is they bought into this sales pitch of convenience. They what they valued is they did not value the United States of America. They valued the United States of Generica. They love the strip malls. They love the Jeff Bezos delivering you your packages in less than 24 hours. They love the ability to go and buy slop at McDonald's. And they loved this promise of being able to, you know, have things, just be handed things for fake make-believe monopoly money and debt and not having to work for it. They love the idea of being able to not use their brains, go work like an okay enough job and be able to chill out and watch sports ball and drink beer after working all day and be able to afford their taxes. They bought into this sales pitch of comfort, of safety. And what's being revealed to them is that's just not how things are going to play out. It didn't work out. Life's going to be dangerous and difficult, just like it always has been for humans. And there's going to be struggle associated with it. And, you know, the way that you really succeed and get through this is you just appreciate the cycle and the, or struggle. And you know that the struggle is what, you know, offers you the opportunity to actually live and to actually experience something. It's not the comfort. It's the struggle that is ultimately, you know, the thing that is great, the thing that you should be appreciating. And because you'll feel a sense of accomplishment at the end of the day. Like when you look back at what you built and what you've created and all the hard work that it took you to get to that point, you're going to feel a sense of accomplishment. Now, your peers oftentimes won't, because they're not willing to have the courage to do that. But what I'm excited about the first turning is getting back to this idea of the United States of America, not the United States of Generica. And like people have for so long, they have associated everything with the U.S. government. Like that's what America is U.S. government. No, America is just a region full of a bunch of, you know, we're the ancestors of some pretty crazy and badass individuals that don't like to follow the rules. We're getting back to that, folks. And there's going to be this breakdown in the social order. There's going to be this breakdown in respect for rule of law. People are going to, you know, go back to robbing Nike stores and doing the flash mobs and whatever. it doesn't mean that you have to get back into that, but it's like you have the opportunity. You look at what Peter McCormick's doing. We like to make fun of Peter McCormick a lot, you know, because he just seems like an easy guy to post up on and dunk on, right? But like at the end of the day, he is probably one of the most, he's the Michael Jordan of Bitcoin podcast, and he's out there, he's figured it out long before most of the plebs, and he's not that smart of an individual.
Peter McCormick, the English funny talker, Peter McCormick is a better American than most plebs, most Americans.
Absolutely. He's a much better American than Mike Brock or, I mean, you just look at the way that he just turned his nose up to Mike Brock. Mike Brock was begging Peter to have him on his podcast. And Peter's just like, you're such a pathetic excuse. You're not a real American. Like, you know, Mike Brock, if citizenship was based on merit, he would be denaturalized instantly and deported. Fortunately for him, he's not. He gets to, you know, rest on his credentials of being a former tech executive and, you know, put out blog posts thinking like they matter. But this is the opportunity to get back to the United States of America, which is just this region of a bunch of fucking ungovernable misfits, people that were the ancestors of people that couldn't stick it out and cuck to Europe. That's what, you know, this first tourney really allows for. And I think you're going to see these two very different societies where you've got pleb society and you got pioneer society. You're going to see this huge divergence between the two. Like the future for the plebs is fucking getting blowjobs from an AI robot that you're leasing from Elon Musk. It's part of your Twitter blue check subscription. Is you get the Grok robot to give you blowjobs, and then it's going to drive you around in the self-driving Tesla that you pay subscription model from, or two. Like that's the future for the plebs. So like if you're not really excited about that being in your future, then get off your ass and start building something.
Well said. I think that's a good place to. To wrap it up before going into the boosts.
One of the things that I've been meaning to do, so just to give you guys an update, I have been working on the villains series, and I keep on getting setback because all this shit keeps on happening. And so I'm planning on talking about the Bitcoin podcast that Bannon did. I just keep on coming up with new ideas, but the next episode of the Hero series will be out in the near future. Just there's a lot more going into it. But, you know, one of the other things that I'm going to play around with is Fountain released a new feature called Fountain for Artists. So I'm going to try and put all my music onto Fountain and have playlists. I think it's already there via Wavelake, but I'm just going to experiment with their features. So look out for that, folks, if you want to listen to music. And I've got the Heroes album probably a quarter of the way done. So I've got like four or five songs done that I'll make sure you have access to. But yeah, getting into the boost. First boost from Sasha Hodder, 7,777 sats, says, great show. What's happening with Canada and China? Do you think the Bitcoin race in Vegas should be in the Bellagio parking lot or at the Red Rocks? I could get a shuttle. I think that the race should probably be at the Bellagio parking lot, but I don't know.
Yeah, just put up cones. Everybody running circles like a NASCAR race. Should be pretty fun.
I think you should just do it. You should do it in the middle of the expo hall at the conference. You just get a bunch of, you know, plebs just going.
Running to the conference hall.
Yeah. You get them all to scream Leroy Jenkins when they're doing it, too.
Or in the casino itself, just running around all the boomers gambling away their social security checks. Just Narita run right past them and their freaking toupee flies off from the air that they, this rafts off of the Narita running. Be pretty funny.
I prefer it if it was in the casino. That way I could get away with smoking a cigarette while I'm running the race. I could outrun all these guys chain smoking cigarettes the whole time for the whole 400 meters. How many cigarettes do you think I can smoke in 400 meter run?
Four. One per 100 meters.
It's a lot. I mean, like, how fast do you think somebody runs like a 400 meter, like somewhere between like 45 seconds and a minute, right? Realistically. Unless you're really slow. I think
it says for an average, moderately fit adult, a 400 meter dash typically ranges between 70 and 90 seconds. So it's a little over about a minute and a half. How many cigarettes can you smoke in a minute and a half while running?
Well, I guess it depends on that. Maybe I'll wear my cowboy boots for the race, so I'm a little bit slower than normal, so I can smoke more cigarettes during it. We'll see. Anyways, thank you for the boost, Sasha.
Next boost from Late Stage Hoddle. The next two booster from Late Stage Hoddle, both 6,000 six sats, which looks like the word boob, 6006. And he says, mechanic thinks y'all are mainstream media. I've been recently seeing the term slop and even club slop spill over from Bitcoin Twitter and the normie side of Twitter. So maybe your sheer journalistic prowess has shocked him in so much that he can't help but blurt out mainstream media. Keep up the good work, Dick and Rod. Well, thank you, Waystage Hoddle. I think that's a pretty good insight there. Seeing club slop. Well, like I said earlier, once you see it, you can't unsee it. And reporting on that so presciently probably has him thinking we're mainstream media, but we have much, much higher ethics. And, you know, our journalistic standards don't always rise above the mainstream media, but never dip below the standards of mainstream media. And his second boost, stay warm, boys. Hope y'all are doing well during the freeze and able to plug in some bit access to help secure the network. You already know it, brother.
I've been flipping my BitAx on and off as a demand response technique, really helping out my local utility a lot as it's been strained due to the storms. But yeah, I've been staying warm. The next boost from look who it is, Rod. She's back. Miss Hoddled Up 420. Been a long time. She says, looks like Rod is still being a salty bitch.
What was I salty about?
I don't know.
Right. Maybe Miss Hoddled Up's back because she's doing sober January. She's finally off the, you know, the Seagram's whiskey. All right, I'm going to hear CJ on Sasha and Miss Hoddle Not. That would be a terrible. Those are nothing like each other. Sasha's a pioneer. Miss Hoddle Not is a drunken pleb.
I don't know why you got why you're so antagonistic towards Miss Hoddle Not. She's been one of our longest time boosters. You say that she's not hot, but I don't believe it. You say she looks like Nancy Grace or whatever her name is.
We've got a history, and if she's not ugly physically, she's ugly spiritually. And that's why I just can't stand her.
Well, thanks for the boost, Miss Honor.
Next one is from Katie, who is objectively hot. Realizing the pioneers have crossed over to the first turning grew my heart three sizes like the Grinch on Christmas. The weight of the anger and frustration at the pedophiles' puppet masters orchestrating the fourth turning chaos was immediately lifted. There is zero need to jump up and down and point fingers at them anymore. That energy is best redirected joining the builders in the new first turning. Thank you for your optimism, gentlemen. You are truly pioneers in the first. Well, thank you, Katie. I think this episode is probably a good example of the reminder that the first turning, like I even said, is not all optimism and you know, Glaze, it's going to be tough times. And like I said, not everybody's in the first turning. It's going to be conflict. It's going to be friction. But the first turning mindset is how you get through this, is how you stay optimistic when all indications point towards the fact that you shouldn't be. And I think you have it's the right mentality, but you're right. The time of pointing fingers, blaming the pedophilic ruling class, it's over. We know. It's time to move past that. It's time to build the foundations for our own lives, our communities, our society, on top of the rubble of what came before it, and to not need their framework anymore.
Absolutely. It's not cool to be a victim. Bubba 1000 Sats says, "You know how long it takes to listen to your show when I keep being interrupted by playing AC/DC videos? Well, a little while." That's interesting. You could do it the same at the same time. You could just have AC/DC running. There's a problem with boomers. They don't understand that you can set up two computer monitors at the same time.
They can barely download a PDF. You expect them to run multi-channel audio.
He's probably trying to listen to our podcast on his, like, you know, jitterbug flip phone. And
he's got a Walkman.
You can probably run YouTube videos at this point on a jitterbug, right?
Probably. He's a boomer. He's probably using a boombox.
I bet you Fallon doesn't work on a jitterbug, though.
No. Fuck, Fallon really works on a smartphone. Or a Mac. That's Booze, 808 Sats from Knock Eyes 18. It's been a while, but back in the saddle. # live aloha. Little finger aloha emoji. It's good to have you back, Knock Eyes. Thank you for joining us in the first turning. It's good to have you.
Yeah, I watched something pretty interesting on Hawaii. So a lot of, you know, there's more native Hawaiians living in mainland America than in Hawaii these days, because they're getting priced out. You got all the pedophilic ruling class going up and buying like their fifth and sixth homes and in Hawaii and not living there and turning them into Airbnbs. So,
well, thank God ICE is on the job and will deport them back to the island.
The story of Hawaii is so fascinating with the way the U.S. Empire just kind of absorbed it. Kick the king out. Doom Satoshi 521 Sat says, "Missed an episode, Boost, so again, thank you for your time." And another one, 521 Sat, said, "Thank you for your time." Well, thank you for your boost, Doom Satoshi. Appreciate it.
And the last two boosts from BTC on board. OH Hance, or see, those are not the last two, but book 100 Sats from BTC on board. And listened again, thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up. And salute heart, thumbs up. Thank you for your emojis, BTC on board.
Appreciate it. Pyrohawk 100 Sat says, "I think I will trust the bugle that I shouldn't trust the bugle. Should I trust myself?" And then I don't know what that emoji is, but it's a emoji.
Contemplation emoji.
Yeah, I mean, it should be pretty self-evident that you just, why would you trust, you know, individuals on the internet? You can appreciate their information, you know, but you should always think critically about everything, right? Should think like a cigarette smoker. And I'm glad that you're trusting, like, you were the one that were talking about it last week, Rod. But yeah, it's I don't know, we're obviously not here trying to demand your trust like other individuals.
We're certainly not, and we're certainly not glazing you.
No. Where if you want somebody to demand your trust and to be glazed, go listen to Bitcoin Mechanics podcast. Like, there you go. He'll glaze the fuck out of you, talk about how great the plebs are, and and demand that you trust him because he's a good actor trying to save Bitcoin when everybody else is trying to destroy it. Like that is, you want somebody to go trust Bitcoin Mechanic and see how that works out for you. But yeah, we're here to report the news. Anyways, you got anything before we wrap this up, Rod?
Don't trust anybody with the private island. There's nothing going on there but illegal glazing, most likely.
Thank you, folks, for listening to this episode of the Bugle Weekly, and we will catch you next week.
Like a wage slave, punished no matter how hard I behave. I tried my best to be what they desire, but all it ever got me was feeling tired. I was hurt and wanted to be healed. All I ever wanted was to feel. It was all built on lies. I had to open my eyes. I will no longer be caged. I just want. Crops don't grow only from electrolyte. It was all built on lies. I had to open my eyes. I will no longer be caged. I just wanna feel the rage. Now I just want to rage. Now I just wanna rage. It was all built on lies.